Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created. And he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Happy 4th of July. Oh, I just have a quick little quiz for you. Do you know what the top 5 holidays are in the U.S.? And can you guess them in order? Well, if you think about the first one being Christmas, you're right. That's usually one of the biggest holidays. And next comes Thanksgiving. Yep. And then today, Independence Day, the third most popular holiday in the United States. After that, it's followed by New Year's Day and Easter. So Independence Day, following right on the heels of Christmas and Thanksgiving, is a big time for people to celebrate. So I hope that you're finding some way to celebrate this weekend, maybe with friends or family, or maybe you're staying close or traveling far away, but today is a great time to gather and connect to community and to celebrate. How do you celebrate the 4th of July? Picnics? Cookouts, pool parties, fireworks. Now, I have a very memorable Independence Day that I think about often. It was back in 1984. 4th of July, 1984, you're like, oh, Bob, you probably weren't even born yet. Actually, I was 12 years old. I was getting ready to start 7th grade, and my parents were invited out to a block party out in the suburbs. One of our family friends invited us to come out and to participate in a 4th of July celebration. There was pit roasted chicken. There were street fireworks, relay races, games, all the fun stuff that I'd seen in movies and TV. But anybody should have loved it, except, of course, a socially awkward middle schooler who didn't want to spend a whole day with a bunch of people that they didn't even know. So I suffered valiantly through the day with all the preteen angst that I could, and I even ignored the attentions of an 8th grader trying to chat me up on the sidewalk as the adults launched the mostly legal fireworks in the middle of the road. Now, I may not have felt like celebrating on that 4th of July in 1984 because I didn't realize that being present and participating in that communal experience would later affect my life. You see, 4 years later, my family moved out to those suburbs, and another 4 years from that, I began dating and eventually marrying, not the 8th grader, but her little sister. I'd met her at that block party years before. I remembered meeting her, and in an unexpected way, now Jill is my wife, and I celebrate that 4th of July every year. In a few weeks, we'll be celebrating our 28th year of marriage. That's over a quarter of a century in ministry together, pastoring, working on staff at a number of churches, and even spending time as homeland missionaries. Now that is something in my life that I need to celebrate. Celebrating is important. It causes us to pause, to break our normal patterns and habits, and to mark something as special, important, and even transformative. We celebrate milestones and significant dates as an important part of our families and our society, and the act of celebration is a personal and communal practice seen across and throughout all cultures and generations. It's not only essential for recognizing the present moment, but it gives us the opportunity to look back reflectively and to look forward hopefully. So I want to ask you, what are you being called to celebrate this summer? What's going on in your life, whether big or small, that you should stop, reflect, recognize, and take time to celebrate or share with others? I hope that you have that opportunity to stop and to pause and to celebrate not only today, but throughout this whole summer, because you deserve it. I mean, look how far we've come in the last year alone, even in the past few months. I believe celebration is essential to our spiritual health, to your spiritual health. In fact, I believe celebration is and should be seen as a spiritual habit or a discipline necessary to the health and well-being of everyone that desires a flourishing and growing relationship with God. As you heard our scripture being read earlier today, you'll see that the Bible doesn't just offer celebration as a suggestion. It actually is an imperative. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Exalt the name of the Lord. All throughout the Old and New Testament, God's people are encouraged to celebrate events, to praise God, and to rejoice in their circumstances and experiences. It is calling us to be an integral part of other people's lives and to value the time that we gather in community. Isn't it amazing how the biblical authors are able to encourage habits and practices that are good for our spiritual health and emotional well-being in ways that our science and our psychology today support thousands of years later? For instance, the Apostle Paul, he was one of the New Testament authors. He wasn't trained in neuroscience or psychology, but he encouraged us to not let the sun set on our anger. Now, we may see this as a great relational advice for harmony with a spouse or a friend, but we can appreciate it even more so when we recognize that if we keep pent up bitterness or anger, that can be toxic for our physical health. It can deplete our serotonin and lead to increased anxiety, stress, and depression, let alone the effects on our blood pressure. Who knew? God knew. And in much the same way, we can see the positive effects of living a life where we celebrate regularly, where we lift up our praise to God and connect with others in rejoicing in the large and the small things of our daily lives. According to the social psychology researcher, Fred Bryant, when we stop to savor the good stuff, we buffer ourselves against the bad, and we build resilience. Even mini celebrations can pump up the positive emotions, which make it easier to manage in the daily challenges that cause major stress. In many ways, the series that we've been doing this summer has been about developing these spiritual habits, taking time to rest, taking time to worship, taking time to serve. Some might call them spiritual disciplines, a habit or a practice that means that we're following Jesus, that we're learning from the way of Christ. It means that we're disciples. It's just a person that desires to learn more about God by practicing the habits of God. Now, don't be intimidated by that word disciple. I know that those of you that some are beginning your relationship with God, some have been growing for many years. Part of what we want to do here in our faith community is to make disciples who are growing in grace and love and truth each day, to help you increase your knowledge, your wisdom, your strength, and your confidence. And some of that happens by celebrating together. Incorporating the habits and practices of celebration becomes a discipline in our everyday life. It can help us in two ways. First, celebration connects us to God. Throughout Scripture, we're encouraged to praise God and to celebrate what God is and has done. As we see in today's Scripture, not only are we called to praise and celebrate God, but the splendor of the whole universe cries out in celebration of God. All of the creatures and features of earth are called to sing out in praise and glory to the author and sustainer of life. In the New Testament, Jesus says, if the people don't praise God, then the rocks will cry out. I love how the words of the late Thomas Keating, who was an author and a scholar, he was a Christian contemplative, some would call, and he shared this image. Now, nature is not just a beautiful sunset, although it is also the very awareness of the inner nature of how things are working even in the subatomic world. Or even what energies, which are invisible to us but are very real, are just beginning to be known. When we recognize the one who is life and in whom we live and move and have our being, it right-sizes our relationship to God. It reminds us that we are not in control of the universe, but we matter to the one who holds and knits the universe together. We are precious in God's sight. And as we celebrate, as we praise and lift up the Creator, we recognize and accept the worthiness of our creation, of who we are, our worth, our dignity, our importance in the interconnection and intersection of the lives and the systems we are surrounded by. When we enjoy ourselves, our life, our world in conjunction with our faith and confidence in God's greatness, God's beauty, God's goodness, then we not only reinforce our understanding of who we are and who God is, but we in turn become an example and a witness to others of the purpose and joy that might be found in life and ultimately in and through Christ. See, celebration not only connects us to God, but celebration connects us to ourself and to others. Joy, elation, connection, and belonging can bring healing, wholeness, and restoration to our souls as we remember who we are and whose we are. We are divine sparks of cosmic beauty created in the image of God, with unimaginable potential and possibility. We see glimpses of this when we experience and when we witness others celebrating. For instance, I love being at a wedding. And I know it's no mistake that the first miracle Jesus performed was at a wedding, the wedding of Cana. You talk about celebrating, the weddings back then could last for 7 days. Now, recently, this past week, I had the great pleasure of presiding over a wedding. The family had traveled and flown in from all over the country, even all over the world. And the guests were excited to meet for the first time or to reconnect after not having seen one another for a long time. But most importantly, they were there to gather and to celebrate this special day for the couple who wanted to have a royal wedding. The bride's train was huge. She had this beautiful wedding party and flowers. Everything was set out because they had planned a service with all the pomp and circumstance and music that they could. And the joy and happiness that day was contagious. I hope this summer you have an opportunity to experience something like that. As we draw to a close in this message today, though, I think it's important to be honest with the reality that sometimes it's hard to celebrate. Our emotions, our experiences, our hurts and habits can't be overlooked or dismissed in a way that we just put on a false smile or the facade of celebration. You see, the good news is that God, in and through the Holy Spirit, and through us, the body of Christ, can meet us in our grief or our uncertainty. The good news is often when we step vulnerably into the space of celebration with others and alongside others, that it can begin a journey of healing and restore a path of hope into our hearts and our minds. So what I continue to see and learn is that when we find ourselves in a space where we struggle to find a reason to rejoice, when we make ourselves open and vulnerable to being within the presence of community, then we find connection and support that helps us weather the pain or the grief and helps us remember the living faith we share in life together, to remember the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we cannot see. So it's in this celebrating, it's in this pausing to reflect that we break the cycle of work, the cycle of toil, of pain and grief, and that we move into a place of recognizing God's provision, of recognizing God's promises, even despite our external experiences or things beyond our circumstances. When we make room for praise, for holy delight and joy, when we make room for celebrating with and within our community, we find this to be the great antidote to despair, to be a wellspring of genuine gratitude. Now, we started this message with a quiz, and I'm going to finish with a little quiz. I want to ask you, we haven't met together for over a year. as a congregant, as someone that used to meet together in worship, do you know what the top two things that people who gathered in churches missed the most in the last 15 months? You have any guesses? Well, number one on the top of the list was taking Holy Communion, sharing in the Eucharist. And number two on that list, what people said they missed the most in the last 15 months was socializing with others before and after services. We have an opportunity to share in that today. Jesus told us to celebrate communion as often as we could. So we can celebrate communion today. If you have had an opportunity already to gather some bread or juice to be with you, now's the time where we'll begin to prepare the Lord's table for communion. If you haven't, take a moment, go ahead and head over and get a little bit of bread or juice, but we're going to share in the Lord's table. We're going to gather at Jesus's table of thanksgiving. We're going to share in Eucharist, which means a time of thankfulness. And we know that this is Jesus' table, that Jesus' table is open and inclusive, that all are welcome. It's a table of praise and rejoicing. And in coming to this table, you may find healing and hope. Now that's something to celebrate. So I want to encourage you, my friends, wherever you are, come to the table.